So summer's coming on, holidays. Let's say you're planning a visit to Tasmania this summer. Well, you'll hit the web, won't you, to get organised. You'll probably look up some short-stay accommodation. Maybe you'll be checking out Airbnb. You'll want to find that light-filled apartment in central Hobart with beautiful IKEA furniture. The owners will be gone, of course, for the duration of your stay. And that all seems totally commonplace, innocuous. Some say, though, that your presence in that apartment is keeping locals out of that place, and maybe for good. It's a thing that we have seen around the world, Barcelona, Brooklyn, the tourist hotspots of the world. You might think that Hobart's hipness is a bit too recent for this to be a real problem. Well, maybe not. Murray Cox joins us. Murray is creator of Inside Airbnb. It's a website that accumulates data from Airbnb. It puts it into all sorts of graphs and analyses. He's a resident of New York. Julia Vidal is a research fellow in the Housing and Community Research Unit and works too at the Institute for the Study of Social Change at the University of Tasmania. Welcome both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Murray, in Brooklyn, where you were living, you started to notice the effect that was having on local accommodation because of short-stay accommodation. What did you see?
Well, I live in a residential neighbourhood in Brooklyn, Bedford-Stuyvesant, and you started noticing people in suitcases walking down the footpath. I live in a black neighbourhood. It's majority black, and these are white, presumably Europeans, and they looked really out of place. There weren't any hotels in the neighborhood, and so that was something that I started to notice around 2013, 2014.
And the effect, though, on local accommodation, when did that become apparent?
It was around that time that I started collecting data on my neighborhood for Airbnb. That's how my project started. And I noticed via the data that, like you said in the introduction, that most of the Airbnb listings were entire home apartments, and people had multiple entire home apartments. And so for me, that was like a key flag that no one was living there and people were being displaced. And it was about the same time that I was doing some of my own housing activists and looking at gentrification and the rising cost of housing. And it seemed like a direct correlation between residential housing being displaced and residents being displaced.
So we're seeing the simultaneous effect of housing being in short supply and multiple units being turned exclusively to short-stay accommodation. And Julia, that is what's beginning to happen in Hobart as well?
Yes, absolutely. We've noticed, and we're really thankful for Murray's Inside Airbnb website, because we are also able to collect data for our neighbourhood or our state, as the case may be. And we've now got data for 3 years, short-stay accommodation data. In the last 18 months, it's got to a point here in Tasmania where it's been called a housing crisis. You know, that was precipitated by growing number of people sleeping rough in tents in our showgrounds. And, you know, that's the pointy end of a housing market that's really experiencing a lot of affordability challenges, and particularly in the private rental markets.
It's a toughie, isn't it? Because, a sudden popularity of a place like Hobart for tourism clearly has very beneficial effects for the broader economy in that city. And beneficial effects too for the owners of these properties, but in a time of tight supply of housing, that can create a squeeze.
Yeah, absolutely. And tourism has really been growing in Tasmania, and there are evident economic and social benefits to growing tourism here in Tasmania. I think one of the governance issues is that in the middle of 2017, the government effectively deregulated because there was such a growing tourism industry and the hotel industry wasn't really keeping up. The government was thinking at the time that it would tighten the short-stay accommodation regulation. They were thinking of putting a 42-day cap on per year on short stay accommodation. But there was a bit of an outcry from the tourist industry. Understandably, the tourism numbers and people trying to find accommodation, it just wasn't, there was too much pressure in the hotel industry. So the government in 2017 introduced the Planning Directive 6, which is what is now forms the basis of the regulation here in Tasmania, which effectively deregulated and meant that if you are genuinely sharing your home, you didn't need a permit up to four bedrooms. And if you have an investment property, that you do need a permit, but you're permitted to use it for short stay accommodation up to 200 metres squared.
What's the broader picture, Murray? I mean, since you started with Inside Airbnb, what does your data say on that critical issue of multiple properties and then properties exclusively rented out as short-term accommodation?
I just did a study on Jersey City, which is just across the river from New York City, and about three quarters of their listings were in a property portfolio. There are even these massive venture capital-backed companies that are creating these property portfolios with thousands of Airbnb listings across the United States. And so it's a massive problem. There's a significant proportion of Airbnb hosts that are not hosts themselves, and they're really commercial operators. And that's going on around the world, especially especially in cities where there's a high demand for housing and tourism.
I get the feeling that Hobart in this is sort of beginning of this curve, Julia. But are we seeing that already in Hobart of sort of absentee landlords, if you will, having portfolios of holdings and renting those out?
Yes, we are. Data is difficult because we have Inside Airbnb data, which is fantastic. There are some things that we can't ascertain too easily from that, though. One of those is how much stock has been converted over the last number of years from long-term private rental into short-stay accommodation, and particularly sort of commercial-style accommodation, because that's obviously where it's going to be challenging to our and put pressure on our private rental market. Looking at the data, we've estimated, based on what we have, that there's been around 400 properties in the Hobart LGA, so just the local government area in Hobart, that have been converted over the last number of years from long-term rental to short-stay accommodation.
Right? We're seeing this in particularly in big destination cities around the world, this sort of growing resentment of local communities to visitors for all sorts of reasons, and the burden of short stay accommodation, if we can put it like that, is among those. How are communities beginning to re-regulate or to redress this imbalance?
Well, cities that have been quite advanced and had to respond aggressively against this conversion of housing, they've introduced bans, particularly on entire home where there's no host present. So Berlin has done that. New York City, effectively, and some styles of housing have a ban. They introduce a mandatory registration or permitting system so that you're ascertaining whether, at a very light touch approach, just so you know who's doing it. If you're trying to be more restrictive, there might be proof of residency that you might have to provide via the registration system, or you might have to notify the neighbors that you're doing this. Sometimes there's caps on the permits. As Julia mentioned, which was considered in Tasmania, yearly caps so that you get to the more what we think of as home sharing, where if someone is renting out an entire home, they're only doing it for a couple of weeks out of the year. And so there's some of the mechanisms that cities have started to adopt to control the situation.
And I guess the other thing, Julia, in a place like Hobart, if it's wishing to, you know, take advantage of its popularity, it's to look at the construction of hotels, it's to look at the provision of social housing, to come at this from both sides of that pincer movement.
Absolutely. The government has been putting a fair bit of effort over the last year in particular at addressing some of these issues. I know that there are a number of hotels being constructed at the moment. I think there's about 700 or 800 beds that are going to be coming online in the next 6 months or so, another 500-600 beyond that that have been approved. So the hotel industry is certainly responding to some of that demand.
The other side of this, Murray, just in closing, is what it does to the nature of accommodation in the cities. There's a wonderful quote from Rebecca Mead in The New Yorker talking about the consistent demographic of tourists, which leads to an expectation of, as she puts it, to find wherever it goes, the cafe culture of Melbourne, the industrial lightning of Brooklyn, and the internet speeds of Stockholm. People want a particular kind of property, and that becomes a sort of global, ubiquitous IKEA shell.
Well, I think that's, you could say that's happening to accommodation, so that people, for example, they don't want to see other people when they go on the trip. So they're renting out these entire apartments. They've got it all to themselves. They're not actually meeting any locals. In fact, they could be displacing locals. But I think on a broader point of view, the city itself is being turned into a product as well. So housing's being turned into a product that's being sold to investors and tourists, and the city itself is being sold as a product, especially if, like, for example, in places like Barcelona, there's more tourists than residents in some of those neighbourhoods. And so it is a tourist product.
Yes, the world will shortly turn into Venice. But perhaps that's a little way off. Look, there's much to take in there. Thanks to both of you. Clearly, yes, tourism has its upside, but we need to be cautious of the negative effects, and perhaps wonder what it is that people are looking for in those getaways in anonymous boxes, just the same as the last one. Murray Cox is creator of Inside Airbnb. He joined us, and Julia Vidal from University of Tasmania. She's in the Housing and Community Research Unit there in the Institute for the Study of Social Change. And this is Blueprint on RN.